60% of top distributors run on Epicor Profit 21. It's ERP built for distribution, enhanced with agentic AI that doesn't just inform, but acts. Optimizing inventory, streamlining purchasing, and making every day easier. Don't play catch up. Visit epicor.com/win.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes, like suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy. But make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady, all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right, your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
60% of top distributors run on Epicor Profit 21. It's ERP built for distribution, enhanced with agentic AI that doesn't just inform, but acts. Optimizing inventory, streamlining purchasing, and making every day easier. Don't play catch up. Visit epicor.com/win.
This is Break the Case with Jennifer Coffendaffer. Inside the evidence, behind the headlines, from someone who's been there. Here now, Jennifer Coffendaffer.
True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host. I'm Jen Coffendaffer. Obviously, I am not at home. Traveled all night last night. I can't believe 1 o'clock finally made it up to my room to get to bed. Involved in a case, getting ready for trial today. So always a big time. Thankfully, I have some time this morning before I testify. So looking forward to breaking down what we found out yesterday. And really, there's quite a lot I really would like to go over, hoping to make it brief again. I always say that, and then I end up going an hour somehow. But a lot to break down. I want to start with the individuals who came to visit. It was interesting because I was still at home when that happened, and Nicole Burley, who I absolutely love. Listen, if you watch News Nation and want to get what I truly believe out of all the networks and channels is just unbiased news, they like to have multiple sides on. Of course, Brian Inton is a correspondent for them. I'm a contributor for them, but I really, really enjoy them, and especially Nicole Burley. She is a wonderful anchor. For those of you who don't watch, I think she's between the time, I want to say noon and four, something like that. I was on her show yesterday at two, and typically she almost always has me on when it's something like this, a case, any crime case like this, where she's looking for analysis. Anyway, that was the moment that literally it broke, that a bunch of suits, I call them suits, right, were at Nancy Guthrie's house. So we knew the vehicles that pulled up. It was obvious to me this was FBI. I believe there were three black vehicles and then also a white vehicle. And interesting, there was a lot of action that was going on, but it became very immediately apparent to me that these were attorneys that were really there to check out the scene. And it made a lot of sense because that's what we do when one of the prosecutors wants to go. When you're in the midst of really cutting up a case with them, they want to get in and see. And you combine that with the fact that the Guthries apparently are moving back to their home, which also was pretty much radared for us, right? They put up the no trespassing signs. We saw right before that a locksmith go in and I think reinforce different locks to make sure there couldn't be entry. We saw this walkthrough. I believe the family was likely there. There's actually, I have a couple of photos I'll just put up. That's not the one. That's not the one. Sorry, everyone. I don't have my glasses on. Maybe I should put my glasses on and then I could see which photo I want to bring up. Let's see. Oh, is this the one? No? Well, I don't have the one. But nevertheless, it appears that the Guthries are going to be going back to their house and taking over their house. And I know that seems odd maybe to some people that, I want to get this off the stage, that, you know, people could actually be going there at this time, right after all this happened. Oh, nothing's cooperating with me. Sorry, guys. There's what I want up on the stage. But they are actually going back to the house, apparently. And again, it makes some sense to me. The scene's been released. To me, unfortunately, the horse done left the barn in this case in terms of the crime scene. It's already muddled, and prosecutors are going to have to deal with that after an arrest is made. That's just the bed that's been made and that prosecutors, unfortunately, are going to have to lie in. And so they want to go out there. So immediately that was apparent to me. I looked for guns and badges. There was nothing. And the way they were dressed, the woman was in a skirt with a slit clear up the back. There's no way that would be the attire of an FBI agent. So anyway, it was confirmed. And in fact, what was confirmed was that they were assistant United States attorneys that were there. Now, this is what I find interesting, and I haven't had time to put this together, but after I get back home, I'm going to put this together. Well, there's like five shows that I have thoughts for that I need to just get put together with the proper research. But the assistant United States attorneys were there, everyone. Those are the federal prosecutors, not the state prosecutors. We know venue lies squarely in the backyard of Pima County and their district attorneys, not in the assistant United States attorneys. So that has me very interested. Oh, thanks, Sarah. Yes, the room is very nice. I'm at a nice boutique motel here or hotel. Anyway, it has me squarely wondering if this could go federal, which has me squarely wondering what is the nexus. I'm seeing all the reports too. I'm waiting to report until there's something more solid, but could she have been taken over to Mexico? I told you, if this were me, if I were a bad guy, 100% go in when he went in, 100% go like the neighborhood. That's the perfect neighborhood to do this crime in, although I truly believe she was targeted. I would get in, get out. I'd go straight to Mexico. And that's what I would do. I would, Nancy's not alive, that is where I would dispose of the body, 100%. And I would beeline there after this crime. And you probably couldn't find much of a trace of me. Did this guy do that? I don't know. But the fact that the assistant United States attorneys were there as opposed to the DAs, they came out and said, wow, that is big to me. Also, do they believe crossing state lines? I don't know about crossing state lines, but that international border really jumps out at me. That would make this a federal case. So sort of, I'm not keeping my fingers crossed because that means, you know, the worst. But I'm keeping my fingers crossed that venue will in lie with the FBI. I just think they're more equipped to handle this case, judging from all we've seen so far. Let's see. Oh, thank you so much, Stephanie. I appreciate it. Very generous of you, and thank you so much. I want to move on now. So addressing who was there, what they did. I think they took one last look at the crime scene, but I think much more importantly, they literally escorted the prosecutors through and said, listen, this is where this happened. This is where the Apple Watch. They, you want to see that when you're prosecuting a case. Yes, pictures tell 1,000 words, but at the end of the day, it's to live it. So as an example, when I go to testify on certain cases, particularly homicide cases, I just had one and it was just adjudicated about 5 months ago. I wanted to go up and be in that crime scene. I wanted to see exactly where the shooter was, exactly where the victim was, and understand where the casings were found. And I tell you what, when I looked at the photos initially in that particular case, it was so difficult to understand how small an area this was, how just really feet from the victim that the shooter was, et cetera. And the casing, how close that was. And then also I could see how the floor was at an angle, which made sense, how the casing got where it got to. So my point is, without belaboring this, my point is that when you look at these cases, your prosecutor is going to want to see this. And I knew also it was lawyers, because prosecutors don't have government issued cars. I mean, maybe Cash Patel does. Well, he's an FBI agent. Well, he's not an FBI agent. He's a figurehead for the FBI. But nevertheless, prosecutors, the assistant United States attorneys, they do not have, they just drive their personal cars in and out of work because they're not supposed to be running around. So typically, whenever we did a site review with a prosecutor, we picked them up. And I think they only wanted one, you know, to limit the number of entourage, if you will. In other words, this was a big scene that pulled up, and you don't want that kind of a scene over and over again. So multiple things were accomplished with just one entourage going. I think, again, likely or possibly the family was there, but most importantly, those prosecutors were there. I am going to, like I said, do a show specifically about FBI Nexus and how this could become a federal case, what it would take. Let's see. I want to next move on to really quick the media. I did a post, and I actually, sorry, I have all these beautiful pictures of them. I did a post and I specifically said the media is out. That was, I'm sorry, I probably should have said the media is going to be far curtailed. This is this huge area that is in and around Nancy's house. And you're going to see, look at this, is a huge no parking zone. I also love this graphic because it shows the catacombs of this neighborhood, how difficult it would be to just happen upon Nancy's house, all the different ways to get in and out. And you can loop around and then go to the right and then go down this road. Listen, the bottom line is the sheriff wants people out of this neighborhood. And I think the biggest reason is because the Guthries are moving back or taking back in control of their house, whether they actually completely move in or just Savannah moves in or you know, Annie and Tomasa, we don't know, but we know that they're going to be going back and taking over the house. So it makes a lot of sense that you would want the media out. You wouldn't want anybody, none of us would want that, to be going in and out of the house just to get the mail, to walk the dog, to have a conversation and have a million photographs taken and YouTubers and everybody shouting questions and molesting them at their every move. But this isn't, I should have been more clear, this isn't necessarily going to keep all the reporters out. Some private citizens may allow them to be on their driveways, to be in their yards. In addition, you have the fact that an Uber driver will be able to go in there again and drop them off and their equipment. My biggest thing was the equipment. How are the cameramen, you know, the tables, just the comfort of not being under Arizona sun, all of that. How are you going to do that? How are you going to get tents in there and equipment and tables and chairs and microphones? And for any of you who have seen, it's really quite an entourage. The first time I was ever in one of the media vehicles was when I first actually met Brian Enton. And it was on the Gabby Petito case. Again, for those of you who don't know, I'll make this quick. I'm sorry. I got a call from an FBI agent. Well, he was retired, and he had been the CBS contributor for 7 years. He was moving out of media. He still is in the position of overseeing all security for casinos that are owned by Native Americans. And he's still in that job. I just was texting with him a couple of days ago. Anyway, he called me and he said, listen, everybody's covering this new case. It's Gabby Petito. Would you go do it? I said, no, I work behind the cameras, doing the expert witness stuff, not in front of the cameras. And anyway, he convinced me. I talked to the producer, who I absolutely loved, and sent them my CV. And anyway, ended up going down there interviewing. That's when I met Brian, who was quite disappointed because he was expecting his an associate he knew from Miami. And I remember I was so nervous, but I sat in this vehicle, and in these vehicles that they have, I could barely sit. So Brian was in the passenger front. Luis, who was the photographer, was in, and the driver was in the, and cameraman in the driver's seat. And then I was scrunched in between all this equipment, all of these. I mean, it was full. This huge suburban type vehicle was just full of all their equipment. So this is why I said media out, sort of in my brain. I was thinking about, without their cars able to get in, how are they going to get all their equipment in there? But I guess they can go with probably skeletal, whatever they can fit in an Uber, or they could get an Uber X. I mean, there's ways to do it, but it's certainly going to be more cumbersome. Of course, being part of News Nation, I like to see the media out there. I like to know of breaking news and things that happen, but I mean, let's be honest, what's really going to happen there once the family moves back in? It's of any importance other than Savannah exited the house. Savannah went in the house. Annie went in the house. Annie and Tommaso kissed goodbye. I mean, really. So I think this is also saying, listen, the house is really not of any importance now. It's completely out of the picture. The mistakes that are done in my view of that crime scene. So they're moving along. By the way, of course, Brian and I became such fast friends, really almost inseparable during that case. I remember we talked almost every day, and then all of a sudden it was every Sunday we would have a time to talk and get together, and just such a wonderful guy. And then now look at us, you know, we each have so many things going on. But I always look back at those memories and those days really fondly, even through, quite frankly, the Brian Koberger case. Most of the Brian Koberger case, we were really lockstep with one another. So anyway, it was a blessing because without Gabby Petito, that case, it's a blessing, I think, to all the missing because of the light that her case put on everything. I could tell you, I would still never, ever have this platform, have a channel, be a podcaster, be on News Nation, do anything that had to do with advocacy for all of these victims. So I am indebted, really, that I was able to find sort of this calling. But again, I digress. Sorry. These stories keep me going on different tracks. Okay, let's talk about, sorry, let me remove this. And let me talk about, why can't I get this on the stage? I want to get this on the stage. Okay, finally. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, I want to say again, this is Madres Buscadoras de Sonora. They're from that part of Mexico. They're these mothers, per their name, that are here to search. And they've been actually quite successful over, I think it was over 2,000. I'd have to look back at my statistics. I posted them all, of reuniteds, in other words, where they find individuals and reunite them with their loved ones. And then thousands as well. I think it was 1,400, so I shouldn't say thousands, hundreds of cases where they actually were successful in finding the individual that was missing, even though they weren't alive. So I think that it's really a good thing that different parties are searching. Again, I'll say it one last time. I just wish it was coordinated by Pima County, meaning that they understood where everybody was searching, you know, a big map. This is where the mothers are. This is where the Cajun Navy is. This is where this other search group is. It just, you have to do that, or you don't even know who's searching where, what's been researched, nothing. So that needs to be mapped, and they need proper counseling. But I do like to see volunteers out there. I've talked about how Rachel Morin and others, besides Rachel, were found after law enforcement vacated the search. I want to continue to put, not that up. I want to continue to put bad guy up too. Let's see. Sorry. Well, I don't know. It's not cooperating with me. I'm so sorry. I'll put bad guy up in a minute, but I want to talk about this. There is a lot of news going on around right now about Annie Guthrie and Tommaso Guthrie's vehicle. Remember, it was seized. It was taken. We also know that Nancy Guthrie's vehicle was taken. We also know that this vehicle was taken, the Range Rover, that was part of a tip that was actually signed off on, this is critical, federal judge. So now we have a federal judge and we have assistant United States attorneys going to the crime scene. The federal judge signed off on this, and then the vehicle that they were looking for and had a seizure and search warrant for was taken. And we haven't heard anything about it being released. And you could see there, they tarped the back of it when they opened it because there was something in there they did not want anyone to see. You know, there was a lot of media there. So I find this interesting. There was a statement that was put out, apparently again by Sheriff Nanos, that the reason that they still have Annie's car is it's part of the investigation. I think those are the exact words that were reported. So some of you might be asking, well, Annie, Tommaso, Savannah, everybody, Cameron, husbands, spouses, everybody was cleared. So why would they keep those cars? Well, a couple reasons. First of all, and I go back to that case that I cited from 2019, where an individual was abducted just north of Tucson and taken into Mexico. They use GPS tracking, right? You can put these devices, such as one made by, I have on my dog, AirPods. It's not called an AirPod. The name escapes me right now, but it's basically a GPS tracking device. And there's many others. I had one on my kids when they were teenagers that you just pop on there and you have it, and it's a wonderful tracking device. So could they be wondering if anything was put on that vehicle by the bad guys? Because remember, Nancy Guthrie was delivered from Annie and Tommaso's house to Nancy's house late that evening after a night of food and games and such. Could they have stuck one on there and tracked her from that house? I've always said, why were they in and around that neighborhood so much, canvassing, re-canvassed at least a second time, if not a third time, and looking in the bushes and everything? Were they looking for signs that that Nancy Guthrie was followed from that location? I think it's very possible. Could that be why they're keeping that vehicle, to investigate if anyone touched it or if there's a linkage there? That's my initial thought, because again, according to Sheriff Nanos, which in working these cases, the same way I knew those were lawyers that went to the house and working these cases, the FBI and the U.S. Attorney's Office is not going to let, nor would a DA let Sheriff Nanos release a statement that is that important, saying the family is cleared, unless everybody was in agreement the family was cleared. So working from that premise, I do not believe that they are involved, and I don't think they have the car for those types of reasons. In other words, trying to build a case against them. Let's see, let me move on to, in my opinion, One of the biggest moments personally in this case for me, let me get that off the stage. I'm so sorry. I'm having trouble getting this to do what I want it to do. This should be what is up on stage, and it won't go up on stage. So I'm trying to get this picture that I have been. Yes, this is the one. Y'all, it's a big moment for me, and hopefully for you, for anybody who cares about this case. This is a big moment. And my editor did such an amazing job, I think. I loved how she put it to movie music. Yes, it was dramatic music, but it gets your attention. And I love her style and give her a lot of free rein when it comes to the music. And she always passed, you know, I make sure that I see the end product before I allow it to go up on the page. And I know some people thought, oh, that's so dramatic. You know what? It's a dramatic moment. It's a dramatic moment for me. I'm wondering if it's a dramatic moment for you. Listen, this guy has a walkie-talkie. That's what I believe wholeheartedly. If you see there's a square and then you see an antenna coming up just above where I circled. So look at the antenna that rises and then the square below. What does this tell us? Well, it tells us sort of what we already, I think, for me, I knew, but not everybody was in agreement. Look, there are, I think Gilliam said this is a bank robbery gone bad. I've cut this up a lot with Mac, who I just love, and she always keeps an open mind to a lot of different scenarios. She felt like this might be a lone actor. I've always felt like it wasn't. I sent her this right when I found it too. And, you know, we went back and forth and she's taken a look at it closer as well. But you don't need a walkie-talkie unless you're communicating with somebody else. Why would you have a walkie-talkie? Well, walkie-talkies are amazing because they don't connect to cell sites. They work walkie-talkie to walkie-talkie. And that means you can communicate. Some people said, well, it's too loud. Well, there's all sorts of capabilities in terms of Bluetooth and other ways that you could monitor. Plus, if you're really quiet with one and it was basically radio silent situation, except for to communicate big things, you know, a walkie-talkie is fine to use. It's way better than a cell phone. Remember, a cell phone, you'd still be talking. So a walkie-talkie, just brilliant, actually brilliant. And this makes me realize a lot of things when I saw this. First of all, geofencing. I kept asking myself, and I haven't talked a lot about it. Nobody's talking about it because we're not hearing about it, but I was always hopeful and behind the scenes, oh, you know what? Doing the geofencing, and I bet they have leads. You know, first of all, they have so much that we don't have. I mean, 99% to 1%. That's the disparaging what Ellie is working with as opposed to what the people in the public are working with. But this find shows not only, I believe, that other people were involved, but that it's, you know, many of us have not given Porch Guy the respect due. Would I trust him on a firing range by the way he carries a weapon? I'm going to talk about that, Sarah. Sorry, I wanted to get this one on. I lost it. They go so fast. Thank you. Thank you, Alan. Alan and I go way, way back to Gabby Petito. I didn't know he was on here following this case. Thank you, Alan. This alone gives us clues now about the numbers of people that might be involved and about the sophistication. He doesn't at all look sophisticated, but look at what he was able to do. He's been able to elude law enforcement, including the full resources of the FBI and at least 100 FBI agents and signal sniffers and everything else. He's been able to elude all of that because he did a lot of things right. and using a walkie-talkie, not bringing cell phones, but being able to communicate. Hey, I got her. Yes, the door's open. What I said from the beginning, if you look back at one of my very first podcasts, is I really believed he wasn't there to go in the door other than somebody letting him in. I think somebody else was behind the other side. I cut this up with Mac on our first, if you want to go back to that discussion with Mac, the first time I had her on, which I'm going to have her on again. I love Mac. Came in through the back and let him in. I think his job was to disable that camera. Why did he grab that shrubbery? That still eludes me, because all he needed was his hand to obscure, since he was going to have something in his hand anyway. Was it a signal of some sort? You know, did they say, you know, it looks to me like he's just searching around for that shrubbery. Like it's almost an afterthought, but I don't know anymore. I don't know. The shrubbery thing, if I ever am able to try to make sense of that, I'll definitely pass along. But right now the shrubbery thing has me befuddled, why he chose to use that, unless it was to signal something. That's the only thing that makes some sense to me. And I don't exactly know what that would have been, other than I'm removing the camera, which he could have put up his black hand to show that. All right. I don't want to digress too much, but to me, the walkie-talkie biggest clue so far, other than of course seeing the face of bad guy. Let's see. I want to talk a little bit about this. A lot of people, and somebody came on and actually put a sticker on here that I posted saying, what about the fact that leaves are on top of blood? So I don't know if you can see my cursor, but a leaf that's very close to this mat over here, in the top, well, as you guys are viewing it, it would be to the top of the mat. You see that leaf is on the blood. And we know that it should be behind the blood. I'm convinced that there was a lot of blowing. These would be so dry and so easily blown. They're so small. And I truly believe that blood, a breeze in this breezeway, allowed some of those, and I think there's only two that I've seen that are on the blood. I believe that's how it happened. I think there's two. Yeah, I see only two. And I think it was blown onto the blood. And then, of course, as it hit the blood, it stuck. So that's my opinion on that. I know I've been asked about that. Let's see. We talked about Annie's car. You know, USA's returning. That's another big one. The media, how far out they're going to be. Okay, last thing I wanted to talk about today. And this is really hitting in. You know, I think I've, Inside Edition, first of all, love them. Been on, I think, I don't know, 10 to a dozen times covering this particular case. They have me on a lot of different cases. But this case particularly, they've had me on a lot to, you know, cuss and discuss different things from the vantage point of an FBI agent. And last night they featured, and Nancy Grace did also, they featured a story, and I put it on this morning on my X, Twitter X, I call it, about this woman screaming. Please look closely at the timeline. I don't know. I probably am not going to have time today to actually delineate out the timeline, but I've looked at it closely. It's too far away, 3 miles away. It's in the middle of obviously a more hectic area. It is, the timing is completely off. And I don't think, look, I hate to get graphic with this, but in my view, there is no way that they took Annie Guthrie, went through all this effort to abduct her, put her in the car where she was, had nothing on her head so she could see them, she could see the car, she could see where they were going, and allowed her to roll down the window and scream. Can you really picture 84-year-old Nancy with her head out the window screaming? No, 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 no. My belief is that backpack was full of things to constrain her, to put a hoodie over her head, so that when she was taken out, because I don't really believe she was murdered in that house. I just don't think there's enough blood. That's just my opinion from what we see here. I don't think she was murdered in the house. I think she was likely unconscious and was taken, but she might not have been unconscious. I think that, and even an unconscious person can wake up, so you want to have something over their head. And I think they put her in the trunk. There is no way in God's green earth that you would take somebody that you've just abducted and you're driving and you're going to risk somebody looking in there, seeing her. No, 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 no. That's just my opinion. I think they took her, hooded her, threw her in the trunk and took her wherever they were going to take her. That was predetermined and pre-staged and coordinated with other people. This was not a, what am I going to do with her? I think I'll drive around and make sure the window's open and she can hang out and scream. No, 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 not buying it. Also, I believe 84-year-old Nancy and really almost anyone would be absolutely terrified, snatched out of her bed, viciously snatched. And I'm going to say viciously snatched because for an 84-year-old grandmother to be laying in her bed and to be taken by a hooded person, a masked person, someone who looked like this, for heaven's sakes, it is an absolute nightmare. It's Brian Koperger 0.2, literally, to have this standing over you, a 5'9", 5'10", average built man dressed like this with a gun slung on his waist so you could absolutely see it and likely have that gun drawn to manipulate you. She would have been terrified. Do I think she would have said, I think I'm going to roll down this front window and scream? No. I think that it's just all another rabbit trail. Do I think it should be reported? 100% should be reported, should be looked into. I'm just saying from my experience, it's going to be unrelated. I don't believe that that is the MO at all for these people. So I just wanted to stop people who might be running down that, or not stop, keep looking, because you might buy into it. And there's nothing wrong with that. Look, until the people are arrested and if Nancy's found, we're not going to know a lot of these questions, but I'm telling you, doesn't pass any smell test from a law enforcement lens. Let's see. Oh, sorry. Oh, let me put this up here. Yep. Alan, thanks again. So anyway, that's the show for today. More concise, more to the point. I do want to check chat really quick because I always feel like there's so much to learn in chat. For some reason, it's not letting me see chat. I don't know why it does this. Maybe because, here we go. Maybe because I'm on a different Wi-Fi. Let me see. Yeah, I agree with you. You're talking about somebody with a very serious heart condition that has to have a pacemaker to regulate her beats, likely on blood thinners as well, judging from her arms and the importance they said of her having her medication within 24 hours. I don't know if somebody with a heart condition at 84 years old, the shock that they would be in seeing this guy at the foot of their bed would be just terrifying. And the fact that they handled her to the point of bleeding in this way, as they exited to the car. Terrifying, terrifying everyone. Let me see any other comments. Everyone, thank you. Thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate everybody who has become a member. Thank you so much. We're going to continue to cover the Nancy Guthrie case. Looking forward to having some very interesting guests on, new guests. I really want to get a very particular profiler on, one of two. I really want to get Greg McCrary. I've been reaching out. He's just been really busy. But Greg McCrary, who was John Douglas's partner, I've had Greg on twice already. I had him on my very first show. That's how distinguished Greg McCrary is, G-R-E-G-G. MCCRARY. You can look him up. He's one of my mentors. We both work as contractors for the same company. And actually, in our last time I was with him, he went over the most interesting case about how law enforcement was completely down one track because of a crooked lab technician that lied about DNA results. This is so scary. And a lot of other parts and pieces that led to the wrongful conviction, arrest and conviction of somebody that finally got overturned. And Greg was a part of that case. And it really just gave me chills because I'd like to think that everybody is like the 99% of the people that I've worked with in law enforcement. But sometimes you just have to realize they're not. But I really want him, hoping I can get him on. And then I have another person too, another great profiler that I'd like to come on just to address if they're seeing what I'm seeing. Since we have money out of the equation, meaning no inheritance from family, no life insurance, no ransom, where are we at? Well, we're at, in my opinion, revenge or an absolute hate type crime. But was it toward Nancy or was it toward Savannah? The next show I'm going to do, unless there's something breaking, is going to be on Nancy. I have not wanted to go down this route because she is such a victim here, and certainly not going to say anything negative about her, but going to put forward some facts that might lend itself as to who might not like Nancy Guthrie and who could do this. All right, everyone. May justice be served for Nancy Guthrie and for all the missing.
Want to break the case with Jennifer Coffendaffer even more? Then press subscribe right now and join Jen on YouTube. Just search Break the Case with Jennifer Coffendaffer now.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes. Like suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy, but make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life, plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right, your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes. Like suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy, but make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right. Your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts. Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.